Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. We've got Houston Nutt, CBS Sports Network's college football analyst. In 18 minutes from now, 20 minutes past the hour, we'll have Houston Nutt here to talk about the college football playoff committee's decision to put Alabama in over Ohio State. It's very simple to me. I agree with the decision because the committee tells us they've got one metric and one metric only. They're looking for the four best teams of the country. Alabama is one of the first four teams in the country. Vegas installed Alabama as a favorite against the defending national champion and one seed Clemson Tigers. Alabama has the best odds out of anybody to win the national championship in Vegas. Wise guys usually know what they're talking about. And I know some of that has to do with how the public views Alabama. But the fact is, you tell me, if Clemson had their druthers, who would they prefer in that 1-4 matchup? Ohio State or Alabama? Oh, they would rather have Ohio State. Alabama's the better team. Alabama's the biggest challenge. Alabama's the tougher hurdle. Alabama is a better program, thus deserving. I'd like to see the metrics change to where you have to win your conference championship to get into the college football playoff. But until that's passed, until that happens, and it's just the first four, the best four, committee got it right on Saturday, on Sunday. The play by Rob Gronkowski was heinous. If that was done by a Cincinnati Bengal, by an Oakland Raider, by a Baltimore Raven, by a franchise that we historically associate with bad behavior, Meltdown City. Gronk is being tugged on. Gronk is being interfered with. Gronk has a case for pass interference against him. And Gronk, I'm sure, gets frustrated a lot because he's big and he's strong and he's fast, and guys have to do anything they can to hold on for dear life to break up the pass. But when the player is lying face down on the ground and giant Gronk comes from behind and throws a forearm shiver into the back of the guy's helmet, not only is it dirty, not only does he deserve to be suspended, but Tre'Davious White suffers a concussion from it. It's the dirtiest play of the year. It is. Forget two guys, adult males, swinging fists at one another. At least they can defend themselves. Tre'Davious White is face down on the ground, and Gronk, a monster of a man, comes down and throws all of his body weight under the back of the guy's head, bashes it off of the ground, suffers a concussion. I don't want to hear Patriots fans rationalize bad behavior. I don't want to hear Patriots fans say, yeah, but Gronk's usually a good guy. Gronk is so lucky the luckiest guy ever, that he's the big, funny galoot. Oh, man, it's just Gronk being Gronk. He can chug beers the parade. I mean, Marshawn Lynch can't, but Gronk can. Oh, Gronk's just such a funny guy. He's just a big-hearted guy. I mean, even though he sponsored a cruise where he wanted and encouraged couples to have intercourse in the middle of a public room with everybody watching on this Gronk cruise. Oh, he's such a good guy. He's just such a good guy, that big, funny, big old Gronk. I mean, even though he acts like a 13-year-old that had his first beer and saw his first nudie magazine all of the time. Oh, man, he's just a big, fun guy. That's just a big, fun galoot, that big. Oh, man, I really like that Gronk. I want to hang out with Gronk. Man, it's awesome when a guy acts like he's got one brain cell, isn't it? You've got a league full of players discussing social activism. A league of players trying to figure out ways to help out the community. Figure out ways that they see historical injustices. But man, Gronk is awesome because, man, he drinks beer like me. He's a real stupid idiot, and we really like that. Gronk throws a forearm shiver with all of his body weight into the back of the head of a guy who's not even looking on the ground, giving him a concussion. I mean, he should be fine, but I mean, you can't suspend him. Yeah, you can suspend him. And he's damn lucky they're not playing the Steelers next week, because if it was a one-game suspension and he missed the Steelers game, how bad would that look? That is easily the dirtiest play of the year.
I just don't understand why there wasn't a flag. And just through that, and there was a couple times in the game, and they're calling me for the craziest stuff ever. And it's like crazy. I mean, like, what am I supposed to do? And then they don't call that? I mean, it was just frustration. And that's what happened.
Nice. That's a great apology. That's tremendous. I mean, they were just, like, not calling flag. So, like, I put all my body weight into the back of a guy's head on the ground to force a concussion. You know, it's just so unfair. Blah, 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 blah. Again, had this been a Raider or a Bengal or a Raven, teams we usually associate with bad behavior, or one of the Seahawks, Legion of Boom, oh, forget it. Richard Sherman does this, all hell breaks loose. But we don't, because it's the Patriots. Well, you know what? It's time for DA's history lesson on the New England Patriots, okay? Here's just the last decade or so of the New England Patriots. Gronk. One of the dirtiest hits of the season, easily. Forced a guy to have a concussion. LeGarrette Blount. Let's sign a guy that just equivocally quit on his team last week, refused to play for a team because he didn't like how his playing time was being divvied up. Also part of a weed arrest and a hot box incident earlier in that season. How about Rodney Harrison? Remember that time that he was suspended for 4 games because he had HGH shipped to him? And that Rodney Harrison's explanation was, I didn't take steroids, but I did admit I took a banned substance. Oh, HGH. Remember when they signed Albert Haynesworth after a stomping incident where he was suspended for 5 games, after 2 road rage incidents, after one time where Albert Haynesworth was driving his Ferrari 100 miles an hour, slammed into another car and left that passenger partially paralyzed? Remember that whole thing? Patriots didn't mind that. They would sign him. How about that whole Spygate thing where the New England Patriots were fined the largest amount ever in NFL history for a coach, $500,000, and docked a first-round draft pick? Or then that other time with Deflategate where they were suspended, or they had their star quarterback suspended for 4 games because he wouldn't cooperate with the investigation, and they were docked a first-round draft pick and a 4th-round draft pick. and a $1 million fine. Oh, and then there was this really small incident where they gave all of this money to a murderer. Remember that thing? You might not remember it, but the only active player in NFL history to be embroiled in a murder, they had just given $40 million to and said, we had no idea he was such a bad guy. It's nice that the Patriots have so many media cronies. It's nice that they have so many people within network television and around the country that want to carry their water, that want to defend them at all costs, and like the quote-unquote Patriot way, so that we are brainwashed into thinking this is a clean organization that does things the right way because, well, hell, they found Julian Edelman. He's just a seventh-round guy that they converted from quarterback out of the MAC. Man, these are just a bunch of hardworking guys. They're just smart football players. Instead, time after time after time after time after time after time, they proved to be one of the dirtiest franchises in the NFL. How much more do we need to see? Man, but somehow they found Chris Hogan. He was a lacrosse player. They're so smart. Time after time after time after time, they are one of the dirtiest, scandal-ridden, disgusting franchises in the NFL. Patriot Way. Robert Kraft, Jonathan Kraft, Patriot Way, Foxborough. Blah, 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 blah. Gillette Stadium. Blah, 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 blah. Patriot Way. They're so much smarter than everybody else. That is one of the dirtiest, scummiest football plays ever. That guy is a weapon himself, Gronk. And he's coming from behind on a guy who's face down into the turf to lay a forearm shiver into the back of a guy's helmet to force a concussion as his brain slams off the grass. Man, he was just holding Gronk so much. I mean, come on, he's getting away with defensive holding. Come on. Pathetic. Constantly pathetic. Constantly. I mean, hell, this was so egregious. At least Belichick had to apologize to Sean McDermott after the game. I mean, on the sideline, or as they're actually meeting at midfield, Belichick is saying, I'm sorry, that was BS. You think? You think? Forget it. Bernard Pollard goes low on Tom Brady. Change the rules! Change the rule book! Remember that time that the Patriots created a play that was basically illegal against the Ravens in the playoffs to where the next year of the offseason, the competition committee had to say, hey, yeah, you know what? That's not in the spirit of the rules. You can't do that anymore. Remember that? They basically created an illegal play to win a playoff game. Time after time after time after time. Patriots fans don't want to hear because they love the duck boat parades. That's fine. I'm here to tell you the truth. One of the dirtiest organizations. 855-212-4CBS. Oh, what happened to Martellus Bennett, by the way? Did he just quit on his team and fake about an injury and then the Patriots just scooped him up and played him the next week? Right. I know he's on IR now, but Patriots had no problem just picking up Martellus Bennett again, right? Got it. When we come back, Houston Nutt's going to join us on the college football playoff. Did they get it right? 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS.
Muffins, mornings, mothership.
Well, here's the deal, D.A. Back in the day, I was kind of a living legend in the rent-to-own industry.
D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
Glad you're with us on a fine Monday morning, everybody. Thanks for dropping on by and carving out some time for the D.A. show here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, we are on your phone. Wherever you are, we are. Listen to us live using the CBS Sports app or Apple Music. Watch us at watchda.com. Listen to full episodes of the show whenever you want. It's DA On Demand by going to iTunes and downloading the DA Show. Joining us here on the program, former head coach in college football, a member of the CBS Sports Network as well, inside college football crew, college football analyst, Houston Nutt. Coach, how you doing this morning?
I am doing well. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for joining us. Easy question off the top. Bama, did they get it right?
I think so when you look at it. I'm a big believer in conference champions, no question about it. I wish every conference champion could go in, no doubt about it. But that's not the way it's set up. And when you look at it, I think the Iowa game was it's just a tough game to overlook, you know, when you see that many points. And Alabama's been number one for throughout the season. And remember, that Florida State game before the year, that's all we talked about during the summer. DeAndre Francois and the defense of Florida State, some even picked Florida State to beat Alabama. So that was a huge, huge first game. Now, it doesn't look so pretty now because of all their injuries, but I think for the most part they got it right.
I tend to agree. My next question is, do you think it would be a better playoff if they mandated a conference championship?
I think this. I really feel like if they had five champions and three at large, I really think they get everything right. I know number nine, it's always the next number is going to be upset. But when you win the conference championship, I mean, I asked Penn State last year. Penn State won the conference championship, but they didn't go. So that kind of, to me, kind of set the precedent. And but to answer your question, to me, they're getting the four best teams. I think overall, when you look at Alabama, I think they're the fourth best team.
I tend to agree that Alabama has to be considered one of the four best teams of the country, even though their schedule wasn't great. They're favored to beat Clemson. They'd be favored in any game against any of these top four. And if you ask Clemson, let me ask you, if you were Dabo Swinney, would you rather be coaching against Ohio State or Alabama in the semifinal? It would have to be you'd prefer Ohio State, right?
That's a great comment. You know, if you ask Dabo Swinney, he's going to tell you, hey, we're just glad to be there. We'll play anybody. But I think you're right. Alabama, you just said it. That's a mouthful. Alabama's favored. They're number four. They're favored against number one. So, to me, Nick Saban's done a good job with recruiting for the last 4 to 5 years of getting the best players. And look at all the injuries that he's had. I can't wait to see the game. I think it's going to be awesome.
Houston Nutt joins us, CBS Sports, CBS Sports Network. Hey, let's look at that SEC championship game because Georgia was so impressive in this game. Maybe that's a little bit lost here. Do you think that Auburn was worn down after having to play both Georgia and Alabama two out of the final 3 weeks of the season, or is that just all the Bulldogs?
No, they were worn down, no question about it. You could tell, especially Kerryon Johnson, who's been their workhorse. You know, if you look at the last 5 weeks, you know, he had 28 carries, 31 carries, 32 carries against Georgia the last time out. Hurts his shoulder. You could tell he wasn't himself. Auburn was so good, so outstanding when they played Alabama and Georgia during the regular season. But time they got to the championship game, and it's tough playing somebody again. When you're playing for a second time and you got that little bit of revenge factor and respect factor and you're at a neutral site, you got to give it to Georgia. Boy, they look so good, so quick and sudden on defense. And, of course, the running backs of Georgia are outstanding. And I tell you, the freshman quarterback doesn't act like a freshman.
No, he doesn't. I mean, Jacob Fromm made some throws that you go, well, he does not look inexperienced at all. Do you think that Georgia has the horses to be able to win two games, to win a national championship?
I think they got to get some loose balls, some turnovers. They got to have some help. This first game, Oklahoma, will be something to watch because Baker Mayfield, you know, this team could win it all. I mean, this guy can score. Now, you worry about their defense a little bit, but Baker Mayfield, this guy is such a magician of being able to get out of trouble, keeping his eyes downfield, throwing, whether it's to his left or to his right, on the move with accuracy is something to watch. So watch out for that. Now, you just can't say, okay, Oklahoma's not going to be able to get by the first one. I don't know. Watch out. And then all of a sudden, they can beat anybody because they can score so many points. But to answer your question, I think Georgia will really need some help. I think they'll need some turnovers, like they did the other night. When you turn the ball over, you get a fumble. When you block a field goal, all you do is set up that good running game and Jake Fromm be able to go play action. Man, they looked very, very good.
I like that we have two newbie coaches that have come into the college football playoff. Kirby Smart, second year at Georgia, and then Lincoln Riley, first year at Oklahoma. What have those two guys done, brought to the table, that helped elevate their programs?
Well, I think a couple of things. One, Lincoln Riley, of course, took over a nice foundation that Bob Stoops left. But he's been the play caller, and so they believe in him. And Baker Mayfield, there's a chemistry there. And the offense follows his lead. And so it's that young energy and enthusiasm and passion that they all follow. And you get on a roll right now, when you start believing like that, that's when you can achieve so much. Same thing with Kirby Smart. And I think there's something, too, about Kirby going back to where you played. Go back to where the classroom. You've been down those same steps that your players are taking. The players feel that passion that Kirby Smart, hey, he played here at Georgia. That goes back, and there's so much care and dedication and sacrifice. The players feel that.
Who's the best quarterback that you've seen this year in terms of that next level? I mean, Baker Mayfield has had the best numbers, but I don't know if he translates the best of the NFL. Out of the guys you've seen this year, which do you like the best of the next level?
I'd probably go with Sam Darnold. I know there were some games he threw it to the wrong team, but when you watch this guy, with not just great, great supporting cast at the wideout, I think this guy has a very, very strong arm. I think he sees the field very well. There's some throws that he makes that looks really good, very sharp, with great accuracy. I'd probably go him. But I'll tell you what, if think about Baker Mayfield, if you don't try to force him into the old NFL offense, and what I mean by that is go put him up under center and you're going to do a true basic eye formation. That's not him. You know, if you look at the Johnny Manziels and Robert Griffin and all these guys, you know, they have to play a certain way. And what I mean by that, with Baker Mayfield, put him in gun, you got different launching points. What makes him so fantastic is when something breaks down, when a left tackle misses his block or if a back misses a chip, he can escape. He can extend the play, and he's just as accurate.
Final question. I couldn't let you go without asking about the Tennessee situation. As a former head coach yourself, a coach in the SEC as well, what's your feelings, what's your emotions as you watch what has happened at Tennessee?
Tennessee, when you go back, you know, there was such this rich tradition. You had such respect. I remember playing them so many times with just this Coliseum that was so full of orange and I mean, the atmosphere was just phenomenal. When you go back for Peyton Manning, T. Martins, and all the players that Phil Fulmer and you know, even David Cutcliffe, the offensive coordinator during the time we played them, they were they were awesome. When you look at it now, it's so different. To think that they didn't win a conference game and empty seats, and then you hire a coach, no, we don't like him. Then you dismiss that coach or verbal agreement, and then you take the verbal agreement away. Whatever happened, it just, it doesn't look good. It's a bad look. And so it'd be interesting to see if Coach Phil Fulmer can get the thing turned and get everybody back on the same page.
Would you be scared to walk into that situation if you were a head coach?
You'd ask a lot of questions. There's no question. Now, if you don't have a job, you'd walk in there and take it right now. If you did have a job, you had choices, you'd say, whoa. And that there's a reason why about 8 or 9 or 10 turned the job down, because of just the very question you ask. There's going to be some hesitancy there of making sure everybody's in the same foxhole and things are right.
Three-time SEC Coach of the Year, analyst for college football for CBS Sports, the CBS Sports Network. Our friend Houston Nutt, you can follow him on Twitter as well, so go do that. Check it out, CBS Coach Nutt on Twitter. Coach, always fun to catch up, man. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Coach Houston Nutt, our guest here on the show. What a big day this has been. Talking college football playoff rankings. What do you think? Did they get it right? Bama over Ohio State? Russell Wilson last night. Hell of a game. You buying the Seahawks? Take a little steam out of the Eagles? But the Vikings, that could be the best team in football. What a tremendous, balanced squad they have. Gronk's hit. What should he get? I think he should minimum get suspended a game. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Plus, we are beginning the 12 DAs of Christmas. I mean, this is a biggie. When we come back here on the show, we've got your sound check. Your best audio of the day, including Geno Smith, of all people. Geno Smith finally getting a post-game podium, and he just used it to unload on Rex Ryan. Got the audio coming up next, DA. CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. We count down the 12 DAs of Christmas. Here's a moment that got stuck in the chimney.
I could ask Joe D what Pac Fangio was wearing when he met him in the middle of the lobby of the Packers team shop.
I'm sure they were Coors Light giveaway sweatpants.
Reeking of booze.
Six hits on a bong in a Toyota Corolla.
Paid for with Marlboro Miles.
Pac Fangio, one of our longtime listeners in Green Bay, huge Packer fan, was particularly a huge part of our nighttime show, was giving me critique on my wardrobe. I was wearing too much purple in his mind. And so we went into what Pac Fangio's wardrobe would look like. Jolton Joe D'Aloisio on the Wheels of Steel in our previous night show. Jolton Joe is a huge Packer fan as well. Met Pac Fangio at the Packer Hall of Fame when he rolled through there over the summer for the Hall of Fame game. He said Pac Fangio met him in the Packers team store, wearing, of course, shorts, white socks, sandals. Of course. What a look. It's like Cousin Eddie from National Lampoon's.
Save the neck for me, Clark.
I'll have the yellow.
Oh, it's so good. So good. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. Jeff tweeting, epic firestorm that you just rained down to the Patriots. Totally agree. Bunch of dirty cheaters. They try to slime their way out of it when they get called out. The NFL needs to punish Gronk to the max. Got a lot of Patriots fans that listen to the show, follow me after my years in Boston. But look, unless you're a Pats fan, you see the Patriots for what they are. They win a lot. Belichick is a great coach. Tom Brady's a great quarterback. But they are not a clean franchise. They have a lot of black eyes. A lot. And Gronk is only the latest. That was one of the grossest football plays I've seen. Because when he's landing on you, what is he, 6'6", 260? When he's coming down on you from behind with all of his weight, torpedoing you, when you're not looking and you're on the ground face down to the turf and he hits the back of your skull and you get a concussion. The guy is 6'6", 265. Would you want 6'6", 265 coming down on you on an elbow drop in the back of your helmet when you're not looking face to the ground? Yeah, I would imagine the guy got a concussion. It's extraordinarily dirty. And if Gronk didn't have this kind of fun, happy-go-lucky, funny frat boy, barstool-type demeanor, if he was Richard Sherman, if he was Marshawn Lynch, if he was Pac-Man Jones, people would lose their mind.
It is one of the dirtiest plays ever. At least you could argue in the middle of a football game, a guy going high and trying to knock a guy's block off is headhunting, but it's happening in the heat of the moment. It's a split-second decision as you're competing. Gronk just loses his cool, and it's a dirty play. I'm going to go try to hurt this guy. Play is over. Going to go try to hurt this guy. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. And I at least give Belichick credit for admitting to Sean McDermott at the postgame handshake that it was BS. At least. But it's a disgusting football play. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. Hey, this isn't to allow the Bills off the hook. Can somebody in the AFC East please play a decent football game against the Patriots? Anybody? I mean, look, the Patriots have to beat the Bills twice, the Dolphins twice, and the Jets twice for 6 wins. Not bad. Sign me up. I mean, the Bills were awful yesterday. Tyrod Taylor, grotesque. Couldn't move the football. Never in that game. I know it was a 9-3 deficit at the half, but the Bills couldn't move the football. But from a pure football standpoint, Gronk's play is as dirty as it gets. It's awful. Let's get to your sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Lane Kiffin wins Conference USA in his first year as head coach of the FAU Owls. In fact, FAU went undefeated, ran the regular season, and then beat North Texas in the Conference USA championship game.
Did you hear our fans at the end of the game? No, you didn't. Did you hear what they were saying?
I didn't hear what they were saying. I heard it. I heard
noise. We want Bama. That's what they were saying. And I was like, not so fast. You ain't ready for that yet. So I got no idea about polls. So I don't even know how that process really works. I'm just trying to win a game.
So to be clear, you don't want Bama?
Well, I would love to play Bama. I would. I'd feel sorry for our players, but I'd like it.
I'd feel sorry for our players. Well, look, Lane Kiffin has delivered the goods at FAU. He has immediately made that program one that you don't care about to one that you want to pay attention to. But I'm very surprised. The best FAU could do was playing in the Boca Raton Bowl against Akron. I thought they were going to get a chance to go up against a Power 5 team, at least a chance to go up against a program that might give them a little bit of national notoriety. You beat Akron, people don't really care. They don't really care if you beat Akron. And they don't really care if you play in your home stadium to do so. So I'm surprised. I mean, a perfect season for FAU, and it didn't end up getting them anything better than their own stadium in their own bowl game against Akron. And that's a little disappointing because I thought there would be some juice to FAU playing a big boy and Lane Kiffin in that week of picking and prodding and poking at the big boy. Geno Smith started yesterday for the New York Giants in the debacle of all debacles. After the Eli Manning benching, how embarrassing this whole thing is, then Geno Smith goes out there, and you just have to love the Giants going, well, we need to see what we have. Yes, we need more looks at Geno Smith's 3-and-outs. We got to make sure we have properly assessed Geno Smith's 3-and-out drives. We need to see more of that to make a decision. So, of course, yesterday the Giants lost. And, of course, Geno Smith was a little prickly at the podium because this has been Geno's career, a little prickly about everything, and took this opportunity to trash his former head coach, Rex Ryan.
I love Coach Mack. I think we all do. I enjoy playing for him. I want to continue to play for him as long as I can. But I did see one of my ex-coaches say he didn't want me to be his quarterback. And that really upset me, you know. The guy that we saved his job, 2013, you know, we fought our ass off for him. both years. And for him to come out and say that just shows you how much of a coward he is.
So that was a question just on, do you like playing for Coach McAdoo? And he spun it into, I hate Rex Ryan. I saved his job. He's a coward. Now, I think Rex Ryan is a blustery buffoon. And Rex Ryan, yeah, it's very cowardly to have a guy as your starting quarterback, win you football games and prop him up, pimp him out, and all of this type of stuff. Then the moment that he's not there, call him out and say he was bad, he's unprofessional, all that type of stuff that Rex went ahead and did. But you can't trust Rex to stay consistent on an opinion because Rex is just going to blow as the wind. Whatever he feels at that moment, consistency be damned. So Rex Ryan doesn't have a lot of credibility anyway. But for Geno Smith, is that the best time? I mean, number one, I want to play for Coach McAdoo for as long as possible. Well, I think that time is up because he could get fired today. So glad you got that one game in, Geno. But I mean, also, is that the time or the place? You just had your first start in years and you're going to take the opportunity to go after a former head coach. I mean, you know, I think you just say your pleasantries and get out of there. And finally, Gronk, again, excusing away his postgame hit. He was forced to apologize at the top, but then you could tell didn't really believe the apology because here was his rationale.
I just don't understand why there wasn't a flag. And just through that, and there was a couple times in the game, and they're calling me for the craziest stuff ever. And it's like crazy. I mean, like, what am I supposed to do? And then they don't call that? I mean, it was just frustration. And that's what happened.
What am I supposed to do besides spear a guy in the helmet when he's not looking, when he's on the ground and I'm up above? And I'm 6'6", 265. What am I supposed to do besides throw all of my weight like a torpedo into the back of the guy's head to give him a concussion? Isn't that just what you do when you don't get the flag? Is that what everybody does? I mean, I didn't get the flag. So I'm a baby. I'm a child. I'm then going to throw all my weight on you when you're not even looking. Isn't that what everybody does? Greg is in Boise, Idaho, listening to 93.1 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good. I just wanted to call in and agree with you about how dirty it was, but also wanted to say that, you know, if I did that in my workplace, because that's his workplace, not only would I be fired, but the person I'd be charged with assault.
Yeah, I can't go that far because football is a different beast than what we deal with going into the office. I mean, we also don't run at full speed and smash into one another at work. So let's take that part out of this. From a football standpoint, it's dirty, it's scummy, it's gross, it's childish, it's immature. He should be suspended minimum one game. My feeling is the league will give him one game so that he is active for the big premier game of the season, Patriots and Steelers. Because God forbid he's suspended for that game, the Patriots are going to fly off the handle and CBS isn't going to be happy. So I think he's going to get a game. He deserves a game. He's really lucky that game isn't next week. But it's a terrible, dirty, gross play, especially at a point in time where we know the severity of head injuries and concussions. 6'6", 265, landing with all your weight on a guy's back of his head as he's facing the ground. And he was diagnosed with a concussion after the game. I mean, it's scummy. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Mraz, you excited about the Geno Smith era after what you just saw from your Giants?
No. And if I have to read one more thing, Geno played all right. He made two good throws and had drives helped by penalty after penalty by the freaking Raiders. That was disgusting football. Get him off.
Why didn't they just start Davis Webb?
Forget that. Oh, forget that. Now we're past that for a second.
Are we?
They didn't even make Davis Webb active yesterday.
Right.
So all that plan about we want to see other quarterbacks, they had no intention of ever letting Davis Webb see the field. So they were going to let Eli Manning, play the first quarter and then Geno the last three?
Yeah.
I thought it was explained that they wanted to get a look at everybody. Clearly, they had no intention to get a look at Davis Webb. What is his infatuation with Geno Smith?
And there's only four games to play after this. So you've got a third-round quarterback. If he's not ready to play by this week, when's he going to be ready to play? Week 16? So you're going to get 2 weeks out of him, maybe, to then assess him?
And whose fault is it that he's not ready to play?
Correct.
That's Ben McAdoo's fault, right? That's the offensive coaching staff's fault. The whole thing's a freaking joke. And the idea that now all of a sudden these defensive players want to hustle and make tackles and almost win games too. DRC, you dogged it for 8 weeks. Do I need you trying to chase down Marshawn Lynch? Pump the brakes. Let the Raiders win.
I mean, the biggest thing that came out of yesterday is that the Niners won, which means now the Giants, by virtue of having lost to the San Francisco 49ers, hold the number two pick in the NFL draft.
And going unnoticed, Eli Apple inactive a third straight week after Mr. Anonymous came out.
That's right. The Giants right now, you know your goal, New York. Lose out. And you are guaranteed either Rosen or Darnold at number two. Lose out. That's the only goal you have. So start Davis Webb. Let him throw five picks a week. Lose all these games. Get the number two pick in the draft. When we come back, the Chiefs' incredible meltdown.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.